When you and I die, someone's going to have to tell us what we died, because we won't even know what happened to us. Because Jesus said, he who believes in me will never see death. See, instantly in the presence of the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 5 says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Hey, that's not a bad deal.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, April 27th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Absent from the Body, Present with the Lord. And our text comes to us from John chapter 14, verses 2 through 3. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Last week, the message we heard was outstanding. And every year when I get the chance to address the issue of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I always felt like John chapter 20 is... got to be one of the best. Entire books have been written on just this one chapter. And I need to go to it for a second before we dive into the message that has to do with the resurrection. But it has to do with your resurrection and my resurrection. The text that we'll be using will be John 14, verse 2 and 3. And why don't we just go ahead and look at John chapter 14, correct, verse 2 and 3, a beautiful, beautiful passage. We're in the Easter season. The resurrection has taken place. The Lord has risen from the dead. But before that, in John 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples before he dies. And he said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Did you catch that? He's preparing a place for you and for me. And I think my idea is that when that place is ready, you go. But that's another thing. Verse 4. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with who? With me. That you may also be where I am. Isn't that beautiful? Well, that's the message that pivots from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was in John chapter 20 that Jesus appears to his disciples that were frightened because they had encountered something unimaginable. Jesus, the Son of God, had been crucified, and they had laid his body in a tomb. And when they went to see him at the tomb, his body was gone. Total desecration, total, absolute, just wipeout. But see, the Lord had other ideas in mind, and the Lord was always in charge of all of those things that were going to happen. And we have the story, as we heard it last Sunday as well, how Jesus appears to Mary and calls her Mary by her first name, as he calls you and I Mary, or John, or Cecilia. Me acuerdo de tu nombre, just because I'm thinking. Anyway. So the fact of the matter is that we have a Christ who is intervenes in the everyday life and affairs of our life, and we see it in Scripture. And on verse 19, though, of this chapter, it's so wonderful because it says, in the evening of that first day of the week, where the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Have you ever been afraid? They were petrified. And they thought they were going to come for them and be killed. And knowing the fears that they had, still Jesus shows up and stands in the presence and says to them, peace be with you. Let me just continue reading. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Boy, wouldn't you be overjoyed when you would see the Lord in the midst of your fear, in the midst of the tragic experience that you had gone through, they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone with sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This is the Great Commission as I see it in Scripture. I see something marvelous. And that marvelous expression of Jesus in this passage tells us, four things. You remember, if you hear my messages on Easter, the first thing is that he brings peace in the midst of our storms. He does. He knows the storm of our lives. He knows the issues that are going on in our hearts. He knows the confusion. He knows our fears. So he brings peace, which means he orders everything. There's an orderly aspect of Jesus' presence in our lives. And he comes and brings order and allows us to be able to bring in and understand that God is in charge. The second thing he does is he says, I don't want you to pity yourself. I don't want you to live as a victim. I don't want you to think bad that what's happened to you is going to interfere for the rest of your life. I'm going to give you a mission. I'm going to send you as the Father sent me. So all of a sudden, the issues of life become very difficult for people to understand that Christians, in the midst of their trouble and situations, they still have a mission to fulfill. You cannot tell me that because there are issues going on in your life, you can't serve the Lord. No, no. It's in the midst of your issues and it's in the midst of your problems that the Lord says, I have a job for you. And he said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So there is a mission for you to fulfill in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your fear, in the midst of your agony, in the midst of the confusion of life. Of course, I guess I'm not relating to anybody here because you got your whole life straightened out. But what I'm saying is that he did not pity them. He said, I'm giving you peace. I'm bringing order into your life. And now I'm giving you a commission. And he said that, and you ask yourself, how in the world am I going to do this? And then he breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. Ah, that's the power that engages the world through you. See, it's not alone. The Lord commissions you, but he sends the Holy Spirit to help you, to enable you, to strengthen you, so that it's not you, but it's the Lord working through you. This is why you and I can say, I can do all things through who? Who strengthens me. And he said, I'll send you the Spirit. He will teach you all things. And you know, when Jesus was walking in this earth, he submitted himself to the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, if you read scripture faithfully and carefully, you find out that he went to the cross with the power of the Holy Spirit. He could not do anything unless the Holy Spirit enabled him. And you and I need a Holy Spirit in our lives. We need to understand when he speaks to us. We need to understand when he guides us. We need to be open to our hearts to hear his voice and say, yeah, that's the Lord speaking to me. Yes, I must do this in spite of your frailties, in spite of your pain, in spite of the circumstances of life. I mean, those are pretexts. Those are excuses that are resolved when you receive the peace that he gives you because he knows the disorder that exists in your life. He knows your fears. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He's there with you. He knows about your temptations. He knows about your frailties. He knows about your shortcomings. So he comes and he gives you peace. Peace is ordering your world. And then he says, but listen, I have a task for you. I want you to do something. I'm sending you to the world as the Father sent me. Don't want to take too much time to that, but I think you will understand it in a minute. Then he says, I give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and he empowers you. So you rely not on your own wits, but on the power and the energy and the strength of the Holy Spirit. So that's why discipleship and following the Lord and listening to his voice is the key to life in this planet. And then as you continue to read, you find that Jesus gives them a commission of preaching the gospel. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. He says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven, which means you must preach the gospel of forgiveness. Because if people cannot hear the gospel, a God who forgives sins, they will never hear it from anybody else. The church is the one that does this. The church preaches the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And if we keep our mouth shut and we don't speak to others about the Lord, those sins cannot be forgiven because they don't know that they can be forgiven. What a responsibility. So in the midst of that message of forgiveness, one of the greatest messages that we have in our hearts and lives is the one that we read in John chapter 14. Because one of the most biggest enemy and the biggest fear that we all have is death. So I'm going to preach about absent from the body, present with the Lord, as one of the slices of the message that Jesus commissioned us to preach to the world. Because let me just tell you, all of us will face death one way or the other. I faced it this week unexpectedly. But we all face death one way or the other. And I just want you to know that fear comes when death approaches. And it's natural for you to have this concern. But I want you to know that you and I, as believers, we have a great promise from God's word. The word that has accompanied us all the way through life today. The one that has been always speaking to our heart and helping us. I want you to know, and I think you know this because I'm going to hear an amen after that. And if not, then I'll quit and go somewhere else. Death is not the end. Thank you. At least a couple of you know that. You know, so it's not the end. It's the doorway into the presence of the Lord. We know we need a theology of death. We need to develop a concept of what this is about. Because it's important. Yeah, sure, this week I got hit with that news that my brother had passed away, and I had to process that in my life, as we always have to process what things happen in our hearts and lives. And I came to that wonderful, wonderful conclusion that the believer today is secure, that we know the Lord, and because we know the Lord, the message that we have been given to preach and to teach is that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you'll know this, that when your turn comes, how many know your turn is coming? We have a dying church here. What can I tell you? When it comes, I want you to know that your soul, the real you, will immediately be in the presence of Jesus in a nanosecond. It's like one of those great writers of New Testament theology and great discipleship. We mentioned him before. Dallas Willard says, when you and I die, someone's going to have to tell us that we died because we won't even know what happened to us. Because Jesus said, he who believes in me will never see death. See, instantly in the presence of the Lord. And 2 Corinthians 5 says, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Hey, that's not a bad deal. Gee, some of you don't believe me. Okay, that's fine. But when it happens to you, you will remember my words and you say, yeah, he said that. Because I expect to outlive you. Anyway, the scripture says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Philippians 1:23 says to depart and be with Christ is far more better. These are people who knew the Lord and people who understand the complexities of life. People who could make choices and pass it on to you and to me. To depart and be with Christ, Paul said, is much better. But I'm going to stick around to help you guys out. That's exactly what he said. Jesus, in a very teachable way, in a wonderful magisterial way, in the cross, says to the stinking thief, the non-deserving people, the ones we think are the worst of the worst, in the cross, dying justly, as he said. He looked at him and said, today, you will be with me in paradise. You will be with me. You will be in the presence of God. I mean, imagine that concept as you live through life. See, we fear death, but the Christian ought not to fear death in the sense that it's not the end. It's the beginning of a brand new dimension of living according to God's word. So as soon as the believer dies, his soul, your soul, my soul, we leave the body and we enter into a joyful and conscious presence of Jesus. I'm not in a hurry to get there, but I will get there someday. But I want you to know that when you and I pass away, there is no such thing in Scripture as soul sleep. You don't sleep and take a nap and then wake up. There's no waiting. It's immediate union with Christ in his presence. I tell you what stays behind and takes a long nap. That's your body. The body stays there. But your soul goes to be in the presence of God and to enjoy him as you and I will forever and ever. What happens to your body when you die? Well, you know, I like to say to you that it's going to get better, but it's not going to get any better. So take a look at your body today and say, this is as good as you're going to get. No, the body returns to dust, my brothers, my sisters. But it awaits the resurrection. There's something about our bodies that is valued by God. This body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It is a temple. It's a tent. It is a tabernacle. God dwells in me. But this body is only for a short time of span. The Ecclesiastes says the dust returns to the earth, but the spirit, of course, returns to God. We go to God, but this body stays here. It stays. You can't help it. And if you think that's not true, read 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, outwardly, we're wasting away. Oh, my goodness. The other day, I ran across some old pictures of me, or shall I say, some young pictures of me, and I said, I'm wasting away. So someone suggested pond cream. When I go get my hair cut, the lady that cuts my hair all the time says, so you use pond creams, and just go like this and like that. I said, that way you take your cream, because I went, okay, so much for that, you know. You try. But I just want you to know that outwardly, we're wasting. All of a sudden, I get up with a pain here. Oh, my God. And so I get worried about this pain. Oh, what's going to happen? Why am I worried? Your body, my body, our bodies are wasting away. Yeah, so you go to the doctor. The doctor says, maybe this. And so, oh, maybe that. No, maybe this. Well, you go to this specialist. No, you go to that specialist. They take pictures. They get all the money they come from you. And then they say, we don't know what you have. Amen. Well, the scripture says it right there. We're wasting away. Our bodies are not made to live through eternity. But look, the scripture says, outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed. There's a renewal of the heart. You know, we talk about the 23rd Psalm, don't we? There's one passage that says, he restores my soul. And we need our soul to be restored because we are in this world and we get battered. We get hit. We go through issues. So how do you restore your soul? You don't restore it yourself. The Lord restores you. And how does he restore you? When you spend time with him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He is the one who restores our soul because we are smart enough to push our bodies, our soul, the total person into the presence of God and say, Lord, restore my soul. My soul is the sum total of who I am. I don't want to go into all of that stuff because it's kind of complicated, but all I can tell you is that we have a body and we have a soul. Our soul needs nourishing from the Lord. When we starve our soul for not bringing our soul into the presence of God, oh my, we need to get restored. So you need to spend time with the Lord because that's how your inward parts, your soul, your spirit, that's how it's renewed. Some of us need renewal. My goodness. Did you know they're making new chips? Anyway, let's move on. There's new ways in which God empowers you and strengthens you, but you got to spend time in his presence. Our body is temporary, brothers and sisters, and it decays to the ground, you know, and it's like an empty tent. It just goes away. Just withers. Like I said, we pamper it as much as you can. I've not tried ponds. I'm going to try it, but no, it's useless. It's useless. I see some people of my age and some men of my age that go and get facelifts. So anyway, if you see me with a facelift, you have the right to kick me. But anyway, I'll never do that. But I'm saying we pamper our outer appearance. But listen, you need to renew your spirit. You need to renew your soul by spending time with Jesus. How do you spend time with Jesus? the way I do it, I just open my Bible and I read his word and I spend time in his presence. Nothing sophisticated, nothing complicated, nothing mystical. Just, Lord, here I am. And just wait for him to speak and to nurture my heart and my life. So my body is not the final state, because God has said something about my body. He says that I'm going to have a resurrection of the body. That one of these days we will be transformed. Those who are dead, you know, will come out of the graves, and those who are alive at the time of Jesus' coming will be transformed in an instant. But listen, the important thing that I want to leave here, that I want to concentrate on, is that don't pay that much attention to what happens to your body, because your body, it's not going to be eternal. Amen. Some people live to be 101, and you talk to them and say, yeah, I wish I hadn't. Don't pay attention to your body. I mean, in the sense that it's not eternal. It's going to happen. Gee, what a beautiful message. Just tell you're going to die. Well, but as a Christian, we need to understand that God has this under control. And some of our biggest fears are anchored on the fact that we're going to die. That's why Jesus comes into the situation of your life. And he says, don't fear. He's risen from the dead. And he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, as our text reads, where I am, you will also be. And so Jesus himself is preparing for you and for me an eternal home. And heaven is not an abstract term. It's a real place designed for real people by a real Savior. And you and I will be in the presence of the Lord. As a matter of fact, I am so sure that if we were to call Millie back on here, she would beat us all up. And if you would bring your loved ones, they would get upset. It comes to my mind, you know, your dad, your husband, Sam, oh my good brother Sanchez, and they're so much better off than we are here, and we just can't understand that. But see, the fact of the matter is that you and I eventually will receive a glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15, 42 through 44 says that we are sown in dishonor, that our bodies are fleshly and they're corrupting, they're going into the grave, and yet we're going to be raised in glory. We're sown in weakness, our bodies are weak, but we're going to be raised in power. And Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 through 21 says, he will transform our lonely body to be like his glorious body. You and I eventually will inhabit eternity with a glorified body. This very body will be transformed into a glorified body. At the resurrection, you and I, we will receive our new body. Now that is going to be the one I'm looking forward to, because I won't need pawns. I won't need facelifts. I won't need not even the odorant I will need. It's a glorified body. That's what the scripture speaks to us. The believer's body will be made brand new. No more weakness. No more sickness. Never death again. We will be forever perfected and glorified bodies like Christ had a glorified body. He went through doors. He appeared here and appeared there. And it's a glorified body that Jesus brought to you and to me as a reality. And this is the message we preach, the commission that he has given us to church to preach forgiveness of sins, for people to understand that it's not the end when you die, but it's just the beginning. That Jesus has a plan for you and for me for eternity. Not just for this 80 years or 90 years. How old are you, Cecilia? Anyway, so you got one more year to go. Anyway, so, I mean, it's not just for a short time. It's for eternity. And the preparation for eternity is right now, as you learn how to listen to God's voice and how you obey God's commands to your heart, not out of pressure, but out of a desire to please him, a desire to see Jesus fulfilled in your life, sharing the good news that the death is not the end. He will transform your life and my life. We'll have a new physicality. There'll be a new physical body. Look at Jesus and how he moved around. Oh, my goodness. That is what awaits us. That is what awaits us. So, in concluding, because, you know, I do now 25-minute messages. I think I've already passed the 25-minute, but that's okay. I just don't want you to fear death. Part of the message that Jesus gave to his disciples when he resurrected from the dead, he told them, peace be with you. He orders your world. He brings order. He brings design. He is the pivot of life. He then speaks to you as he speaks to me, and he says to you and to me, look, no matter what you're going through, I have a mission for you. I have a job for you. Don't be a crybaby. Well, that's what I'm saying, not Jesus. But don't pity yourself. Don't say, oh, you know, I would serve God if. No, serve him with what you have. With all that baggage you claim to have, that baggage is the platform under which Jesus is going to work your life through. You know those issues you're facing? They're going to make you strong. But you got to listen to what Jesus says. Because many of us are in trouble because we don't want to listen to what Jesus says. We want it our way. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, not my will, but your will be done. So you and I should not be afraid as we face life today. So Matthew 10:28, Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body. So sickness can kill your body. Don't be afraid of it. Accidents can kill your body. Don't be afraid of it. Persecution, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. He says, do not fear those who kill the body because they cannot kill the soul. Oh, isn't that understandable? That the Lord is looking after our eternity. He's looking at our life as eternal beings. So, you know, you can be, your body, our bodies can be touched by disease, by problems, by situations. But I'm telling you, they cannot touch your soul because you've entrusted it in the Lord's hands. Oh, lover of my soul, says one of the hymns. Our soul is in the hands of Jesus. I gave my heart to Jesus. He walks with me and he talks to me along life's narrow paths. The issues that I have to handle. The problems of growing up. The problems of growing up. The problems of getting old. Oh, good grief. Problems we all face. But our lives are secure in Christ. That's the message. Following the Lord in discipleship for eternity, listening to his voice, understanding what he says, taking the right steps in spite of all the mess we make. He brings peace and order into our lives. He gives us a mission to fulfill. He gives us the power of the Holy Spirit to get it through. And then he gives us the message to preach, message that I'm preaching right now. Do not be afraid of death. Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, as he rose from the dead, we will also have a brand new glorified body. But in the meantime, when you and I take our last breath, we enter into the presence of the Lord. Instantly, in a nanosecond. That's what the scripture says. So I conclude by saying that death for the believer is not defeat. Catch this. These are not just words. It's victory. Because you made it through. Gee, some of you don't want to make it through. Ay, ay, ay. Ustedes son tan difíciles para predicar porque uno no sé. You don't know whether you're saying amen or not. I remember Sammy. When Sammy was very ill and he was in the process of going to see Jesus, he woke up in one moment and he said, why am I still here? You know, I thought I need to go with the Lord. I want to go. You know, and Brother Sanchez waiting. Well, I'm gonna wait until he calls me. You know, he will call us at his time. And when you and I are called to be in the presence of the Lord, it will be a victory in our hearts and in our lives. So we live behind. What do we leave behind? A decaying body, but our soul is embraced by Christ Himself. The Bible talks about the fact that there was a rich man and a poor man. Actually a beggar. And many people question whether it was a parable or a real life story. And when you read that statement from Jesus, the story that Jesus told about Lazarus and the rich man, he uses names. And no parables except for that one has names, which makes us believe that it was not really a parable or a story, but a real active event. And when the beggar died, he went into Abraham's bosom, into the presence of God. And there he was feasting, sitting at the table. Means he had all the privileges. And the rich man who had despised everything was in torment in hell. And when you look at that, it says that the angels came and took the poor man into the presence of the Lord. I happen to believe that. There's no reason for me not to believe that. That the moment that you and I die, the Lord takes us into his presence. How many are ready to be? What? Okay. Let me not ask that question because you may say, not so fast, Pastor, not so fast. But when it happens at God's ordering of your life, just know God's presence will be in your life. One day our bodies will decay, will die, but one day our bodies will rise, graves will be opened, and those who are in Christ will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. One day our bodies will rise and will be perfect for all of eternity. And then, until that moment happens, and you're still here, so until then, live with courage, because you got a great message to preach to the world. Come to Christ for the forgiveness of sins, for he is the one that took your sins away. Come and say, Lord, come into my heart, work in my life, and he will. So live with courage. But here's the other one. Die with hope. Trust in the promises of the one who conquered death for you and for me. So my concluding verse is in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39. For I am convinced, says Paul, that neither death nor life, and he goes on to say other things, he said, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, church, what a wonderful message we have for the world. The message that you and I have been entrusted. You got to preach this message. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop quibbling about problems that don't matter. Grab God's calling in your life. Don't be a victim. Use whatever situation you have as a platform for showing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And between now and the time God calls you, he's preparing a place for you. That where he is, we may also be. Hallelujah. Lord, take your time, but when it's done, I'll go. And you know, you don't have to be sick to go. Did you know that? All of a sudden, what happened? Well, he died of a sudden heart attack. Not expected. It was his time. It is your time. There's a day that the Lord will call you home, and no prayer in this world can stop you, because it's God's design for you to come home. Oh, what a message. What a worldview. Una cosmovisión extraordinaria. It just takes away all the big issues of life and condense them into that my faith in Christ Jesus, he being my Savior, is all I need. So I invite you, brothers and sisters, those of you who don't know the Lord, to get to know the Lord. But getting to know the Lord means to obey the Lord and to follow him. Because what's the use of the Lord being in your heart if you're going to go on your own way? It's kind of an awkward thing, you know, and yet many people do that. They live in rebellion with God, but it's a miserable life. The worst life that can be lived is those that know the Lord and don't do what the Lord tells them what to do. I don't know. It's just so difficult. How can the Lord be, how can Jesus be your Savior and not the Lord? It's a whole question. It's a whole question. But anyway, I need to end. I need to end. And the way I want to end it is just remember five things. Soul goes immediately into the presence of the Lord. The body returns to dust. Jesus is preparing a place. Glorified body awaits. No fear in death. So live the right way. Live for Jesus today. Stop. Can't say the word. Stop complaining. Amen. Live for God. Amen. Stop. Stop it. Shake it off. Live God for God where you are from and in the place you are. Don't bring the excuse, well, God, I will serve you, but. No, no buts. You serve him now. Let him come into your place and bring order, his peace. Order your life. He'll hear you. He'll tell you, do this. And then you need to obey by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you will have a message to give to the world. Good grief. What a life to live, huh? I'm living so I can die. Ah, that's wonderful. Shall we stand? If you've not made a decision for Jesus, you ought to do it. You ought to say, Pastor, I want the Lord to come into my heart. And if you're in questioning that, you need to talk to somebody. So just do that as the Lord leads you. All right, church, this is the day
that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad.
Wonderful. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.